You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the Sheffa Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, in preparation for Leil HaSeder, for the Yontif of Pesach Haba Aleinu Letova, what I wanted to try and do was a small insight, a little bit of a meditation or content for meditation that can help us move through a particularly unique element of the Seder, which is the mitzvah of Achilas Maror. Now, celebrating the time of redemption, celebrating a time where everything is growing again, where everything is beginning to free itself from the confines that it found itself stuck in. So it's understandable to celebrate the rebirth or the regrowth that comes about with redemption from any stuckness. Redemption is the ability for things to move forward out of a place of concealment where things couldn't move forward. And as Rav Kook's Chusi Hagen Aleinu referred to this time period, the springtime of the world, things are beginning to break through again. And so it's understandable to celebrate the freedom, the chayrus, the malchus of it all. But thrown on the center, at the center, in the center of the Pesach Seder, is also an aspect of maror, a need to eat the bitter herb, a need to eat the bitter food in order to experience not only a memory of a previous suffering, but rather a re-experiencing of an element of that suffering. And the question is that at first glance, this appears to be the polar opposite of freedom. A free individual, someone who is freed from the traumas of that past experience, is not perpetually recollecting it, is not re-engaging in the action to act it out. This traumatic kernel that we carry from Mitzrayim, from the Golus, and the redemption from Mitzrayim, seems to carry with it a fundamental necessity of re-experiencing the Maror. Now, thankfully or unthankfully, whichever way a person chooses to look at the experiences in their lives, and halavai, on every level, our experiences should always be the easiest of the difficulties on every single level. But when a person looks at their lives, it's easy to understand a mashal for maror. It's easy to understand that place of bitterness in our lives, that place where a person is stuck, that place which makes a person tense up, that creates the pressure or the tension, that movement inwards, that isolation into self that keeps me stuck in myself, unable to break free from myself and reach out to another or connect to another or reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or reach out to the growth and the birth around me. The merirus, the bitterness, is that experience, that pain, that sudden reaction and retraction of the body, that wince, that is the natural reaction, the squinting of the eyes, that is the natural reaction to something that is painful in this world. And that maror, that bitterness that creates a certain taste that is inaccessible through any other taste function, that maror finds a natural expression in each and every person's life. Each and every person has their maror. Each and every person has the thing that is causing them their merirus. Each and every person has something, and hopefully it should be the smallest possible thing, but something that causes a certain amount of bitterness, restriction, and a feeling of an inability to move forward. And on Pesach night, we don't need to go into the particular details of where we feel our maror or where the maror is coming from. But suffice it to say, we are incredibly understood in our recognition that we have maror. To not have maror would be a difficult thing, as we're going to see. Someone who doesn't feel that there's a maror in life, a need for maror in life, a natural experience of maror in life, is someone who doesn't have their eyes open. Maror is an experience. It's an encounter with the deepest parts of what it means to be a human being. But we don't need to go into the symptomology of it. The night of Pesach is a time of redemption. It's a time of freedom. But we have to find that place within ourselves of Maror in its general framework. When we close our eyes and we recognize, what does the Maror in my life mean to me right now? What are the areas that I'm stuck in? What are the things that hold me back? Where are my fears? Where are my compulsions? Where are my obsessions? What are those things that I'm continuing to hold on to, that chametz in my life that I have yet to be mevatel properly? And we have to encounter that place in our minds, because we have to remember where we're coming from. We have to remember the space of exile and the space of difficulty in the space of trying to break free from difficulty. But in order to make it a little bit more practical in terms of how does one confront or deal with or think about their maror, when it comes to Leil HaSeder, which is a night of Geula, a night of redemption, a night of Mashiach, a night of everything being fixed, so we have to properly learn what it means to engage with maror. So what we'll do is we'll look at very briefly a few ideas from the tzaddikim, Zchusam Yagen Aleinu, to give us a little bit of a better understanding of what maror means. Now, first and foremost, if we look at the Arizal, the words of the Arizal in Pri Etz Chaim, and similarly, we find these same words in Shaar HaKavanos. So the Arizal writes as follows in Perek Gimel, Soid Maror, the secret of Maror, it's that gematria of Mavis, 446, Shehim hadinim hakashim v'tzarech lelasam ulamtam l'toichnam b'shinayim l'matik hamirushabahem. So Mara represents the concept of Maves, the concept of death, which are the judgments and the difficulties that a person needs to chew down in order to sweeten and to grind down with their teeth in order to redeem the bitterness from within them, as it's explained to us in the secret of the grinding of stone for the tzaddikim. And therefore, a person who simply swallows the maror without chewing it and tasting it is not yotze the mitzvah. So we see two things from the Arizal. Maror is a fundamental part of the process. If you don't feel the maror, if you just simply swallow the maror at the seder in one's life, then you have not been yotze the mitzvah. And maror in general represents mavis, it represents death. Now, death doesn't necessarily mean cessation of physiological life. Death is that place that each and every person lives with that deep awareness of. The unique, all too human death awareness that we live with, the perpetual awareness of the transiency of things, that causes a shadow. But first we have to recognize that there is a valley caused by the reaction to death. Death is the original trauma, second only to birth, second only to the emergence into existence through its symptoms. And so when a person is wondering what that maror is and where the maror goes to, it goes to that very question of things falling apart, things not lasting. And this is something we contemplate. We contemplate this on Seder night by wearing a kittel, if that's something a person is doing. That there's a memory that just as we are becoming aware of the possibility of freedom, it needs to always be held in that delicate balance with mavis, with that recognition that I am free for a moment, I am free for an hour, and I have to find that freedom to be the most valuable thing. If I take freedom and I say it's something that's going to last forever, then I'll never truly be free in this moment, because my freedom will be dependent on some future orientation towards a shift in my consciousness or my awareness. But if I realize that ava kamavas ahava, and that when I truly love something, when I truly have something, and I'm fully free to have something, it's when I own the fear, I own the realization that this is transient and this too may fall away, because in that moment I throw myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what maror means. And the Oyev Yisrael in his Lashonos, the Abderav in his Lashonos about maror, he says maror is in and of itself the experience of moichin. It's the experience of the consciousness of godliness, that the very contemplation of these ideas is not simply something that needs to be thrown away, but needs to be transformed and sweetened so that these areas of difficulty or bitterness in our lives become vessels for a deeper light. Now, there are two processes with a third that I want to talk about. The first approach to Avoida of Moror we're going to take from the Beis Yaakov and the Haggadah of Pesach, Beis Yaakov, Seder Azmanim. And this is a Klal Gadol in the Torah of Ishbitz and Radzin in general. But as we're going to see inside, the Iker Avoida of Moror is to recognize that I've always already been in a state of Moror. If I look at maror, if I look at bitterness as a symptom that comes about after a shattering or some post-traumatic symptom, which I'd rather live without, then all of my relationship to my maror is always going to be one of, I wish I didn't have to deal with you, but now that you're in my life, I have to learn how to cope with you. It's a secondary, it's a bidyeved, and we look at the maror in our lives, we look at the reality of misa in existence, we look at the fact that things fall apart as a post-traumatic symptom. And as long as a person is looking at their maror in that way, the best that we can do is what the Baal HaTanya refers to as iskafya, as a reduction, as pushing away, as subduing, as suppressing or repressing that maror in our lives. But we'll never fully confront it in a way that we can integrate it to become the motivating engine behind a deepening in our avoda. So Ishbitz and Radzin help us understand very quickly that the maror in one's life is a fundamental space which is there prior to the emergence of subjectivity. We are our maror, just as we are our matzah and just as we are our koirech, that maror is a fundamental expression of the self equal to the expression of matzah, as the Mittler Rebbe points out in Shar HaYichud, that the kav of merirus and the kav of cheirus and the kav of chedva are mamish shav b'shav. They have to be shav b'shav. That's the metzias of bechira. So first and foremost, we have to see that we have maror, and that there's something to sweeten, because imagine a person walks around this world thinking this is the matzah experience. That this is the matzah experience, as Rav Avram Elia Kaplan, Schus Yagen Aleinu, wrote in his very powerful dirge almost of Shaka Nafshi, Shaka Nafshi, Shaka Chama, Shaka Nafshi. Ha'im l'zois karasa chayim, l'maza karimayvas. If this is what you refer to life, then what exactly is death? Or as Rabbi Nachman says, that there's no Olam Haza, there's a Gehenim here, there's a Meriris here. So a Nebuch on a person who feels that there's no Maror in the experience, a person needs to learn what that Maror is. And once I learn what that Maror is, then I can learn how to be Mamtik the Maror. Then I can learn how to be Mahapich the Maror into a place of Chayim. There I can learn to be Mahapich the Mavitz itself into a place of Toiv Ma'oid. As Chazal say, Toiv ze Chayim, Toiv Ma'oid ze Malach HaMavitz. And the fundamental engagement with Leil HaSeder is to get to that place, Uba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ushachat L'malach HaMavis. It's an or of Tchias HaMesim, it's an or of being Mahapich the Maror. So Ishbitz and Radzin point out that by eating the Maror, we remind ourselves that we've always been in Maror, and even if we're not in the previous stage of Maror, we're still in a place of Maror. And to paraphrase a translation, that when a person falls into slavery, slowly but surely a person falls into a place of unconsciousness where they no longer even feel the bitterness and their subjugation. And they forget their original roots entirely, and therefore they become naturally habituated within the space that they're working in. And they come to imagine to themselves that this is how they were born. They've always been slaves who are subjugated. And they've learned to swallow their maror without feeling it and without chewing it. And when God, Hashem Yisbarak, reveals himself to Moshe in the name of Eheke, Aleph Ke, Yud Ke, which is associated with an awakening of that which will be emergent in the future, which is being prepared to be revealed. At that moment, Bnei Yisrael began to wake up, and the first thing they felt was the memory of the Merirus. They said, oh my God, how did we get here? And they knew their pain, and they remembered that this is not where they come from, and that they have something bigger to rely on, and something to daven to. And this is why the beginning of the process of redemption is Vayana'chu b'nei Yisrael v'goymer v'yitzku. They sighed and they cried out, because those are both expressions of merirus. And therefore the halacha states that a person who swallows their maror has not been yotze the mitzvah. Because adaraba, zehu ikar ha-merirus ein adam margish saro, the ikar merirus is that I don't feel my merirus. And that a person has no shumis oirus letfila, and a person has no motivation to cry out. Because merirus that is swallowed and concealed within the self is no longer something that feels like merirus. And the fundamental mitzvah of maror is to bite it and chew it and taste it with your teeth until the point that you taste that merirus. And through that tasting of the merirus, a person should have a hisoirus and a desire to daven HaKadosh Baruch, to be saved, to sweeten all of the bitterness. And once we recognize that we're waiting and Hashem is waiting, there in and of itself, the redemption comes. A person feels their pain, it's easier to redeem it, it's easier to come to a place of davening. Pull me out of the constriction of my soul. And this mitzvah of eating maror, of tasting the maror, hints to the individual to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires of the individual that they feel the bitterness and the deficiency, and out of that deficiency they come to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should be the fulfillment of the deficiency. Because Maror brings into the individual the recognition that I never can lose hope, because I've always been in a state of hopelessness to a certain degree, and I'm still hopeful. And that I should never find myself too comfortable and say that this is enough, I'm okay without this inyan, but rather a person should always be davening. Always be davening. This is the avodah of Maror in accordance with Ishbitz and Radzin. To come to recognize that we are deficient, that we are missing something, that something is lost in our lives. This is similar to what Rabbi Nachman Sluzi Agenu writes with regards to the Hastara and the Hastara Shabbatai Hastara. That in a Hastara, when a person feels their Meriris, okay, so it's not so terrible because at least I know what I have to work on. But if a person is in such a stuckness that they no longer even feel the Meriris, that's a difficult scenario because a person doesn't even know how to daven. So for Ishbitz and Radzin, the Avodah of the Maror is to awaken us to the memory that I have to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next mahalach is going to be more of a proactive mahalach in what it means to sweeten Maror. Okay, so Maror reminds us of that bitterness, but we don't need so many reminders. So how does a person move beyond the negative reminder that is associated with the Maror? So this mahalach is much more found in the Vilna Gaon and his Talmidim and Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver of Menachem Mendel of Shklov, especially the Leshem for Rav Achaloyim, and it's hinted to in the Arizal itself. It's also Mifurash in Rabbi Nachman, in Chaim Aran, I believe Os Chaf Gimel. And the Indian is as follows, that there's a Medrash that the Kol HaTor brings down, and Rabbi Nachman seems to imply it as well, that there was a king who needed to punish his son. His son was liable for a punishment of death by stoning. And the king was in a dilemma because on the one hand, he wanted to carry out the law to ensure the continuity of laws in his country. But on the other hand, he didn't want to hurt his son. So he came to his wise men and he said, how can I accomplish both? And the wise man thought on it until he came to a point of realizing that, okay, we have to throw the amount of stone contained in a boulder, but nowhere does it say it has to be done at once. So they had chiselers come and break this massive boulder into many, many little pebbles, and all of those pebbles were thrown at the sun, and therefore all of the stone was thrown, but it did not kill him. So too with the Indian of Maror. Maror, Maves, the confrontation of what it means to be a human being, stuck in the belly of the Nachash, as the Vilna Gaon points out, stuck in a place that is concealed with a merirus, with a bitterness of things not being able to express themselves in the way they truly are in their essence, the birthplace of deficiency and duplicitousness. And in order to tolerate this, in order to find a way to carry this burden, we have to learn how to break it down. We have to break the problem into bite-sized manageable pieces. We have to break it down into small parts. This is what we do when we encounter a struggle, when we encounter maves or meriris in our lives. What we do is we chew it down. We break it down to bite-sized manageable pieces of time in order so that a person is capable of handling it one step at a time, one moment at a time. That the chewing, the refinement, just like we do with the Ketores, Dak min Hadak, Tzachak and Yofa Yofa, Ketores is also dinim like Maror is. It reminds us of that death-bringing speech, that scent, that secret that Moshe Rabbeinu learns from the Malach HaMavis himself. What it means to deal with the confrontation of suffering in this world. And the secret of Maror is to chew it, break it down into bite-sized manageable pieces, and take it one step at a time. And when a person is mamtik, their dinim in that way, they become easier to carry. Instead of looking at merirus and gansen as an overwhelming death awareness that paralyzes me, let me break it up into bite-sized manageable pieces of categories that I want to work on. And I look at the small T traumas in my life instead of making my entire life into one big capital T trauma. Because when I come to find that my capital T traumas very often, obviously not always, but very often, the posture that we have that makes us feel like life is a threatening, terrifying thing that's going to continue to be frightening and threatening, most of that can be better handled, more tolerable, by breaking it down into bite-sized manageable pieces. That's the avodah of chewing the maror. The third avodah is a remarkable one, and Rav Yitzchak Maya Morgenstern Shlita brought it down last year, Tavshin Pei Beis. And this is going to be the third mahalach. The first mahalach is coming to recognize maror as the reminder that I'm in a state of maror, that I'm in a state of maror, and I have to learn how to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically in that place of maror, to find cheiros from within maror, to be a person who's chayim from within a possibility of misa. This is the secret of why the Jewish people get the Torah as opposed to the malachim. They don't die. They don't have a malach hamavas. They don't have the ability to say tov ma'od or to transform tov into tov ma'od. They don't have a secret of Ahava Azakamavas, which is the heart of Shir HaShirim, which we sing and we daven and we lain at the end of the Seder. So we have their acknowledgement of moving out of Merirus, a perpetual presence in a Merirus that is refining itself to become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. As the Zohar Kadosh says, that only the people who know how to be mahapich, the mar to a matok, are capable of entering into the celestial chambers of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his chavraya. And when the way we transform the mar into the matok is chewing it, biting it down, breaking it down, making it more tolerable, making it more manageable, making it more carryable, the things we carry, to allow ourselves some compassion, just as we would do to our enemy. If we saw his animal buckling under the weight that was unbearable to it, we would help. So too, we have to do this to ourselves. So many of us, all of us, are buckling under a weight that is far too heavy. And what we have to learn how to do is chew it, to break it down, to taste it little by little. And that's a way of being mamtik the dinim, of making it smaller. And then we have something remarkable, that they have manuscript form of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh Siddur. And I believe it's the authentic Siddur. Tzadikim say it's the authentic Siddur. And what happened was that it was digitalized. Nisim, right? A person can have a PDF of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh's Siddur to see exactly how the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh daven. And what the Rebbe points out is that in the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh's Siddur, what we find is that there was Haseba by Maror. Now, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh did Haseba by Maror, that he ate his Maror b'derech chiris, the same way that you have to drink the wine, and the same way that a person is meant to eat matzah. And the Rebbe, although there's no seeming trace of this minhag anywhere, and all of the tzaddikim were talking about the milos of Maror, nevertheless, the implication there is that, as it's understood from the tzaddikim, that Maror itself is the Hamshach HaSamoichin, that confronting Maror is a fundamental part of the evening, because the Maror experience is a bringing down of a light of redemption that can't be accessed without the Maror. It's being mamtik the Mar, it's being mamtik the Mar with Mar itself. It's chewing the Maror and having the Maror be a mevatel its own self, ad shebala hamavas lenetzach, until death itself is swallowed forever. Maror is misa, bala hamavas lenetzach. A person has to chew it in order to swallow it properly, in order to ensure that we refine it. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh would sit beheseba when eating maror. Highlighting, the Rebbe points out that there's a mahalach that's for the unique tzaddikim, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and all of us get to grab hold of that kotel, that there's a way of experiencing every ounce of maror that a person experiences. Every possible ounce of maror as exactly the way that they want to find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that moment. That this maror, this place of maror, this low place, this difficult place, that it's no different to the tzaddik than the place of matzah or yayin. That there's a chayrus mechletes from the Malach HaMavis, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, and as Rav Yitzchak of Hummel implied, that there are certain tzaddikim where the churban bias does not apply to them, where there's no misa bechlal, by Rashbi, by Moshe Rabbeinu, by the tzaddikim amitim, that afilu b'misasim krum chayim, that even in their death they're referred to as life, because that's the gilui ha'ikr of the tzaddikim, to reveal that even in a place of death, even in a place of maror, there's chayim, there's chayrus, there's roimimus, there's hisroimimus. To be mahapich the maror, to be mahapich the marirus, into a place of emasai ka'asimar, mar, when will the bitterness go away? Or the Maisa HaMerkava, how do I become a person who has a Merkava, that it could be koyved maris, that I could erase the bitterness, the secret of Mashiach Tzidkeinu, of Emasai Ka'asimar, Kishayafutsu Mayna Secha Chutza, when the waters of the Baal Shem Tov, when the waters of the Tzaddikim, the sweet waters of those Tzaddikim, who teach us how to lean when we're eating Maror, who teach us how to lean Behaseba, Besimcha Muchletes, with every ounce of experience in this world, because Gam Ki Elich Begeitz HaMavis Lo Yirara Ki Ati Imadi, and Gam Zu L'toiva, and called the Oven Rachman L'tava, that in the light of Pesach, of that chirus el yoina of being lamala min ha-malachim lagamrei, because we're bar misa, because I wear a kittel is why I'm lamala from the malachim who pretend to know what it wears to a kittel. Only we know what it means to wear a kittel, to be a bar maves, to be someone who sits with maror. So we have the recognition of maror. As the Ishbetzer Tzadikim point out, we have the chewing and the breaking down of maror. As the Gra and his Talmidim point out, we have the haseba at the heart of maror. The ability to be present in whatever one is experiencing, to accept the things I cannot change, to change the things I can change, and the wisdom to know the difference, and to have Haseba in my Maror. And that's the third avodah, to be mamtik the maror ad kedei kach, that there is no longer a distinction between maror and not maror, between katnus and godless, between laila and yom, between chayrus and gullus, because it's always been chayrus. And the ikar nekuda, and with this we're going to end, is the maisa mimaror from Rabbeinu. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov's story, a short story of a maisa mimaror, which is fundamental. Because anytime we talk about maror, anytime a person confronts the three avoidas of maror, of becoming aware that I live in maror, of breaking down the maror in order to tolerate it and learn how to deal with it, and coming to a place where the maror itself is an encounter with godliness, just as and even more intense than anything else, there's one klal gadol that a person has to remember. The klal gadol is as follows. There were two aniyim, one Jewish ani and one German ani, who had gotten to know each other over time through their adventures of collecting, the adventures that only the aniyim and Rabbi Nachman's stories understood. And the night of Pesach was coming, and the Jewish beggar said to his German friend, he said, "You know, the night of Pesach is coming, and it's going to be a tremendous night. Dress like me, do as I do, and we're going to be fed like we've never been fed before. I know my people, and I know what this suit is going to be." So they dressed together and they went to shul and they both got invited to separate sedarim. But as Rabbi Nachman adds, shachach lahagid lo she'oichlin maror, this Jew forgot to mention to this German beggar that they're going to serve him maror. And this German beggar dressed as a Jew comes to sit at his seder. And he sees the table is beautifully set and he's excited. But he's hungry because he's been waiting all day. And then they give a cup of wine. Okay, it hurts the stomach a little bit on an empty stomach, but okay, this is a preparation. And then he gets a little bit of a vegetable that he gets to dip in salt water. He says, okay, they must be preparing for something big. And then a little bit of crackers, matzah. And then suddenly they bring out what he expects to be the beginning, because he can't tolerate this anymore, what he expects to be the beginning of the meal. And they bring out maror, and he eats the maror, and the bitterness overtakes him, and he pushes himself away from the table, and he screams, "You lying Jews," and he storms out, waiting angrily for his friend, the Jewish beggar. Hours later, in a jovial mood, in a joyous, satisfied mood, the Jewish beggar comes back, and he sees his German beggar friend, and his German beggar friends, "Why do you lie to me? Why did you lie to me? They served me something so bitter, they served me maror." And the Jewish beggar says, "You fool, you fool, you fool. Had you only waited a little bit longer after the maror, the entire suda would have arrived. Had you only waited for the maror." Now the problem here at the heart of this maisa is shachach lahagid lo she'oichlin maror. Number one is they forgot to tell him that he eats maror. A person needs to be aware that maror is a part of life. If I don't see maror as a part of life, then every time maror arrives, it's going to be a trauma. And I'll be unprepared and I'll say, how could this have happened? When in truth, it's very expectable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzamtem himself in order to create the world. The chiddush is that it's not more maror. The chiddush is that there's a secret of matzah and yayin. And in this chalal apanui, in this chalal, in this empty space, in this chilul, in this place that appears to be like a chalal, like a dead body, oichlem maror, a person is going to eat maror. But the second most important piece, and this is fundamental, that a person has to know that maror is not the ikar, that beyond the maror, there's a thing beyond maror. There's the matzah, and there's the ayin, and there's the ability to be misameach, it's atzmenu, b'sha'ashuim, to live in a place where the maror is sweet, where nothing hurts anymore, where it's bala amavas l'netzach. And yes, there will always be perpetual gradations and spaces between us and the infinite, but with the redemption's arrival and the transition into redemption and the various stages of redemption, each one in accordance to its balance, as the tzaddikim point out, the maror becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Ad kedei kach that we can begin to understand that when the Baal Tanya came out of prison, he asked for a bitter dish. He wanted to taste something bitter because that is an or of la'asid lavo, where we're no longer going to be stuck in the bitter, but we will take joy in the motivation that emerges out of the slight and momentary descent for the sake of a deeper and more powerful ascent back closer to the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Be'ezras Hashem.
This podcast is supported in part from a grant from the Hadar Institute. The music is by Zusha. The audio engineer is David Kwan. For more from the Sheffa Podcast Network, visit our Facebook page and please subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.